Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
I want to start here. I want us to think about this, that we're different. We're wired up differently. We show up here differently. And when it comes to like how we use our feet, we're kind of different too. Some of us here, I don't know where you fall on the scale of walking to hiking to being a person that's an extreme mountain climber. Likely most of us fall in the other two categories. Not many are over here. But if you think about, like, maybe you're that kind of person, like, why would you want to climb up and down when you can walk on flat land and put your feet in the sand by the lake? I'm that kind of person. Some of us are wired up like, man, I like to scale the mountains, and I like a hike that has some challenge to it. Throw on a backpack and put some water in it, and then get up to a vista where you can see just these beautiful landscapes. Or some of us might be wired up that we actually look at 14ers, like 14,000 foot up. We think to ourselves, that's training ground for what I want to do someday. Like someday I want to scale Everest. There's a bunch of us like, why would you want to do that? Most of us are like, why would you even want to do that? Because only 861 people on planet Earth actually made it to the top of Everest in 2024. Not many people ever do it. And when you get up there, what for? Like when you make it to the top of Everest, what do you actually do when you get up there? Here's what they do. They fist bump, high five, shoot a picture, maybe plant a flag, and then immediately start thinking about how do we get off this mountain? How do we get off it? Because when you cross over like 11, 12,000 foot, you're in that area where stuff just really doesn't grow. Tree line, it's done. You're up above that. When you hit 26,000 feet up, your body starts rejecting it. What happens to them when they get up into that area? Your brain actually begins to swell. Your lungs begin to fill with fluid. At that level, you run the risk of heart attack. You run the risk of a stroke. Seizures goes through the roof. And you have all kinds of oxygen deprivation that's happening. You're not thinking right. And we're like, especially you flatlanders, like, why would you want to even leave the lakeside? Like, why would you do that? Why? Exactly, like why? But what if not mountain climbing here, but what if God were to invite just today? Like for us, if he were to invite every single one of us here up, just invite us up, maybe just a little bit, one more step up, one more move toward a more authentic relationship with him. One more step up into something fresh, into something new, into a place that we've been avoiding that could be really, really hard and really, really painful, but he wants to heal us in that space. One more step up into a relationship with him that becomes even more raw and real and beautiful. What about that? Last weekend, not just a couple days ago, but a week ago, I was with my roommates from college, and man, what a blast. I haven't seen all of them in one spot together because we haven't all been together in one place for over 30 years, like three decades, since we've all been in one place together. And you know what happened? If you've ever done that with, we had a group of 10 of us on the lake shore for a couple days together. You know what happens? We got stuck in the 80s, and we're telling all these stories from the 80s about how stupid we were, and we were, like we did stupid at a really high level, telling all the stories. And then there was some of this, something happened to us. And I've seen some of them, but the story is sitting with Jill on the lake and just sitting there and having a conversation. He began to unpack some of the stuff in his life that he had to deal with and how God met him in those places and transformed his life. Like, I'm a new guy. I knew about Jesus, but now I know him. I'm talking to Pete, and as Pete was sharing a little bit of his journey, and he says, you know, I listened to you online. I'm like, oh, I knew there were like three people that listened to me. And so like, wow, you're one of the three. And like, he's listening online. I'm like, really? And he said, you remind me of my pastor. And the way he speaks, like just down to earth and connecting to us and making us understand that this is a relationship with God and a journey with him. And I'm like, that is so amazing to hear some of these stories and then to think about my own journey and this invitation that God gives to us to just come closer, step up, next move in your relationship with me. And today, what I want to do with us is I want to climb two mountains. And they're hundreds of years apart, the stories. We're going to take one out of the old and one out of the new. We're going to travel a distance of hundreds of miles apart in the ancient world and find some incredible similarities in these two stories. And as we take this, my hope is this, that actually each one of us will find a place in us. This isn't about just showing up to church. It's not what we want to just do is to show up to church. It's not about hearing another sermon. It's about entering more deeply into that which God calls us into. And so we're going to start in Exodus chapter 24, and we're going to read the first verse and then the 12th verse and then the 15th verse and following. But I want us to catch, we are in Mount Sinai in this story, hundreds of miles from where we're going to end up in another story. But let's begin with verse 1 of chapter 24. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up. Listen to that language. Come up to the Lord. You, three guys, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now, what I want to pull out of it with you is what we're going to see is very similar in this story to the next story that we're going to jump into in the Gospel of Matthew. But let's pull some detail out of the story. And first, we have a mountain. And the mountain is called Mount Sinai. It's where Moses went up. We have three people that are named in the story that went up with Moses. There are 70 others, but the three that are named are Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. And then what we have on the mountain is God's presence. The cloud came down. We have a theophany, a manifestation of God. His presence came down on the mountain in a cloud. Then we have God's glory, this consuming fire, the Israelites at a distance. And actually, at a distance are also the 70. And also, Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, they're at a distance as well. And what they're viewing looks like a consuming fire. It's God's glory lighting up the side of the mountain. And then God's voice thunders, and God speaks from the cloud. And what God speaks to Moses is the Ten Commandments. He gives them the law. He gives them the instructions for the people of Israel. All right, so we have a mountain. We have three that are named. We have God's presence, God's glory, God's voice, and God's instruction to the Gospel Matthew, chapter 17. We're going to the second mountain, and the mountain that we're moving to now, again, hundreds of years apart, hundreds of miles in distance in the ancient East, we're moving to a mountain. It's called the Mount of Transfiguration. And this mountain, we actually don't know what mountain it is. Our best guess is probably Mount Tabor. It may be another mountain. Some say it might be another. We don't know exactly. What we do know is it's a really high mountain. Jesus went up this mountain. Matthew chapter 17, let's read the story. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, three, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. It's kind of cool, isn't it? They are face down, terrified, and he walks over and he's like, "It's all right, boys. Get up. Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. I want to pause right here a second, because here's the reality for me at one point in my life when I would sit and listen to stories like this. Like, these are cool Bible stories. And that's all they were to me. They're just like Bible stories, like a story that somebody wrote. And I never took the time to actually think these really happened. Like, these aren't just stories that are stuck in some pages. These are accounts of what took place. Like, Moses actually went up a mountain, and up there he had three companions, and up there some of this stuff that took place is like, wow. And Peter and James and John actually went up this mountain with Jesus, and Moses actually showed up, and Elijah actually showed up, was conversing with Jesus, and they witnessed it, and a voice spoke, and they fell face down, and Jesus actually walked over and touched them. I just want to encourage anybody here that's like, "Man, that's a leap for me." Yeah, me too. It was a leap for me at one point in my life too. I want to encourage you to keep reading these stories again and again, and showing up for these stories again and again, and inviting God to do what God longs to do, to take these stories and move them from the pages of the book and to the recesses of your heart, to where you, like me too, can believe this really happened. This really took place. And to pull out of this story right here, out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, the detail of it, it looks like this, because there's a mountain. It's Mount Tabor. Remember the mountain? Exodus 24, Mount Sinai. Three people are named: Peter, James, and John. Three people were named in that story. We have Aaron and Nadab and Abihu. God's presence came down in a cloud that overshadowed. God's presence came down in a cloud that overshadowed. God's glory. Jesus shone. He lit up. And over here, we have all of Israel. We have the 70 and the three standing back, looking from a distance as the manifestation of God took place. His glory in an all looked like a consuming fire. We have God's voice that says, "This is my son." We have God's voice that is declaring the law, the Ten Commandments. We have God's instruction, "Listen to Jesus." And we have God's instruction over here, "Obey my commands." Like, wow, wow. All of this taking place on that mountain. And to really make the leap between these two stories is not very hard, is it? Like, it would have been super easy for the audience that Matthew was writing to, and it's because of what I said 2 weeks ago, it's because of what Wally picked up on last week and spoke into as well, because when you start thinking about who's the original audience of this, who's listening to this story, this one, the Matthew 17 story, Matthew was writing to the Jewish believers. He was writing to those who understood Jesus really is the Messiah. He really did come, and he really did die, and he really did rise again from the dead. They believed this, and they would have been steeped in understanding all of the Old Testament. It's what we long for us. Right here in this church, that we would get the Old Testament. When we read it, we would grab a thread and pull it through to the New and be able to look at all the detail here and say, not a single chance that this is accidental. This is so on purpose, you can't miss the story and what's taking place and what God is unfolding, what Matthew takes the detail so that they would say, what happened way back then, hundreds of years ago, hundreds of miles away on Mount Sinai, was taking place on Mount Tabor right there in our region. And what was God trying to say? Like, what's the story here? Pretty clear. Wally briefly touched on it last week. It's what Jesus said. And he said these words, I didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. How's it saying that? Well, we have three booths. Moses. And we have Elijah. And we have Jesus. And Peter's saying, should I set up three booths for the three of you? And there's a lot behind that I'm not going to dive into today. So I do want to say this, that what does Moses represent? He represents the law. What does Elijah represent? The prophet. What is the Old Testament? The law and the prophets. And then what do we have Jesus representing? A brand new covenant. I didn't come to undo Moses. I didn't come to undo Elijah, the prophets. I actually came as a fulfillment of them. This is an invitation up. And here's where the story takes a beautiful turn. Like if I were to narrow down this whole teaching to a minute or two and just point out the detail on it, but not any story behind it, it would be this, that on Sinai, here's the law, obey it. And on Tabor, here's my son. Turn your ear toward him. Pay attention to him. Look at him. I'm so well pleased in him. And be with him. The story is different at this point because what we have, we didn't read all of chapter 24, but if we did, what we have is there's a moment when Moses actually leaves the three behind. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the rest of you 70, stay back. And I'm going to walk forward, and I'm going to go up there and be with God for a while. And Jesus said to Peter, James, and John, coming up with me. Journey up this mountain with me. And there with them, he stays. And at one moment, it is so overwhelming for them in the presence of God that they fall flat on their faces. And what does Jesus do? But what we spoke about already, he walks over and he touches them. I mean, these guys had a moment to be them. Unbelievable. Amazing. And I think we have probably a lot of stories in this room that we could tell that hit that unbelievable, amazing level. And they don't always look like that, like climbing up the mountain and having this mountaintop experience. But we have these experiences of God. And I could think of so many from my own life where God showed up and I had experience of it. I could tell you stories of so many different friends. Just one of them, I have a friend that was clipping down the road in the wintertime. And as he was going down the road, it's one of those days in Michigan where people that are outside of our state don't get it, but we still drive 70, and he's clipping down the road at 70 miles an hour and hit black ice. So the roads look clear until his car was sideways, and at 70 with a car sideways, when the rubber hit the road, his car took off, like began to spin through the air, hit the ground, and tumble all the way into a ditch, landed wheels up, window blown out of this thing, the side window, and he sat there with glass in his lap, crawled out the window, and started making his way back to the road. He's fine. Another guy, seen the whole thing happen, pulled over and started running his direction, just expecting the worst. And when he saw my friend up and out of the car coming in his direction, he's like, whoa, you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. He's like, dude, do you believe in God? And his response was, yeah, I believe in God. And if I didn't, I would now, like I would at this point, like, wow, what an experience. And something that stuck with him. I have so many stories of my own, bigger or smaller. The point isn't, do we have stories this morning? The question would be, where's God calling us up to? What's the invitation up? Because these disciples, they had stories. Oh man, so many stories. And Peter, especially Peter, he's the one that always had his mouth open first. If you want to study Peter's life, it's a riot. And go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, just read the stories. Go into the book of Acts and you'll see him. He's always kind of going first. Like they're out on a boat and here's a story. He's out in a boat and he looked out on the water and went, what am I looking at? And he saw Jesus doing this water walking thing and he's like, amazing. Jesus, if that's you, can I come out and do some water walking? And he's like, yeah, come on out, Peter. Come on out. And he got out of the boat and actually walked on the water for a bit. Amazing. There's a moment Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, wondering what are the crowds saying because they had their ear to the ground. And what they said is, well, what they're saying is maybe that you're John the Baptist, you know, the guy that had his head cut off, he's back from the dead. And maybe you're Elijah, some are saying that, or Jeremiah, some of the other prophets maybe. He's like, okay. Who do you say I am? Peter's first one with his mouth open. What a moment. First one with his mouth open and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Another moment where Peter's in a boat, wakes Jesus up, and says, we're perishing. I know Wally touched on that last week, but what Jesus did is just got up and spoke to the wind and the waves, wind and wave obeying, and Peter's a witness of that. He's like, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Peter's experiences were for real. And here he was on his face. And Jesus was inviting him again. Get up. Come on up. Let's not rush off this mountain. Not this one. Let's not be in a hurry to come up and have an experience and then just go back down again. Let's just be with each other. Let's do that. That's the story of my life. Like it really is. And sometimes I forget about it, but when I was sitting with college mates from 30 years ago and we started telling stories, and not the old ones, but the new ones, like, where are you today? What's God been up to in your life? There was a day that, I already said it, some of these stories were just stories. And then I moved to the place where, like, I want to be a good Christian. That's what I want to do. I want to be a good Christian. What's a good Christian do? Well, you don't swear, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't do these things. And what do you do? Well, you be nice, you be kind, you help people. That's what you do. And I had this whole thing wrapped up into the do's and the don'ts, and it's like Mount Sinai feel. This is the law, do it. And then I had a Mount Tabor experience. This is my son. This is my son. Be with him. be with him. That changed everything for me. I read a story, it was years ago, but I was reading a story, and I don't remember all the detail around, but I do know the story had an impact on me. I think her name was Marcia, but Marcia was a nurse, and as a nurse, she gave her life. Some of you have given your life to this as well in the medical field. You give your life to actually stepping into really hard places for people where they're hurting, where they're struggling, where anxiety runs high. And so for 12 long hour shifts, she would step into people's pain and suffering. And in that place, she had such a great heart. She gave herself to it. But one day, there was a young patient, a young child that died. Even though they gave everything they could to help this child, the child died. Exhausted, she was walking out of the hospital and she walked past the chapel. And she looked at the chapel and thought, nope, I'm not going in there. I don't have anything to say. Made her way outside to a bench and was walking past that bench when she collapsed on it and just wept. She broke. An elderly gentleman came next to her and sat down and didn't say anything, just sat there. And eventually he just opened his mouth and said, you look like somebody who's carrying the weight of the world and it's too heavy for you. First she didn't say anything and then she said, I'm fine. Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not fine. I'm not okay. I am carrying a lot of weight. And it feels so, so heavy. And I don't know what to do with it. I used to have faith. Now I don't even know if I could even hear from God at all. And there they sat in the silence. Faces turned down. And then something he said reached out and touched her. And he said, I have a story like that too. My wife died a few years ago. And in the loss of my wife, I felt that too. So alone. So much weight. I had a faith, but I just was no longer hearing from God. And then somebody said something powerful to me that helped me. I don't know if it'll help you, but it helped me. Said it's not always about hearing. Sometimes it's just about being with. And she said, that sounds great, but how do I do that? How do I even do that? I said, well, again, I can only describe what I did, but I just started being real with God and just shared my hurt and shared my loneliness and then just sat there. And in that space, eventually, I began to experience him again. It took time, but I began to experience him again. For that young nurse, that bench ended up becoming her chapel. She would walk into work and sit on that bench prior to going in. She would leave and just sit there for a minute, just to be real. I wonder if that is the invitation that was there for Peter and John. Hey, guys. Get up. This is a pretty amazing mountaintop experience. You three caught, nobody else on the planet. But now let's do what everybody had longed for. Let's be with each other. And what'd they do? Spent time with Jesus. What'd they do? Processed with him. What'd they do? They just kind of walked with him. Just that. So I wonder today, like for us here, nothing absolutely mind-blowing, profound, just the best of the best of the best. If the invitation up for you, I don't know what it is, but is to move maybe a little bit away from that space where we're going, it's about do and don't do. It's about going through the motions. It's about everyday sort of routine. and stepping more into an authentic, deep, beautiful relationship with Jesus, just whatever that looks like, finding your chapel and spending space with him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for two mountains. We thank you for two displays of your glory. We thank you for hundreds of years apart and then a story that penetrates and goes past a moment in history. But you got put on display. Your heart for people got put on display. Your move toward Peter and James and John, you didn't say, stand back, guys. Watch from a distance. You invited them straight in, and then you moved toward them as you move toward us. Whatever our story is, wherever we're at, wherever our faith is, this is a moment for us to just recognize your call is up. Up into something more real yet, up into something even more authentic, up into something that is fresh and new, up into a place where we can just be with you and practice your presence on a daily basis, not just showing up for you occasionally in the routine of life, but actually being with you. That's your longing, that's your heart. And so now, to that end, you who said, I didn't come to undo what Moses was. I didn't come to undo what the prophet spoke about. No, I am it. I'm the fulfillment of it. Listen. Be with me. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.